facing internal rebellion and the threat posed by German troops on South Africa's borders, Prime Minister Louis Botha and his deputy, Jan Smuts, led the Union Defence Force during the First World War. Botha, Jan Smuts and the First World War by Antonio Garcia and Ian van der Waag is a first-of-a-kind volume that investigates the wartime roles of these two legendary yet divisive historical figures. In this episode of PageCast, Antonio and Ian are in conversation with historian and author Karen Horn. Enjoy.
I am Karen Horn, a historian and author, and today I'm talking to two fellow historians, Ian van der Waag and Tony Garcia, about their new book, Botha, Smuts and the First World War. Okay, so Ian and Tony, for those who are not sure, could you give us an overview of who Botha and Smuts were and what their roles were during the First World War?
Sure, I can jump in on that one. And thank you so much, Karen. It's lovely to be with you here today. Louis Botha was, in fact, the prime minister at the time the First World War came around. And that's the first minister, the prime minister of the Union of South Africa. And Jan Smuts, who we often refer to as his second in command, he was also a minister within the cabinet. And then, of course, they were both also generals. And they had taken the helm of the Union at a very difficult time. 12 years before, maybe 14, depending on how you want to look at it, there was the Anglo-Boer War. And then there was a very difficult time in South Africa. And then from the late 1900s onwards, Transvaal starts having independence and then the Free State, and the Union gets formed in 1910, bringing together a lot of different factions, different parts or elements of South Africa. And they form the party that's really a broad church and brings together all these different interest groups. And by 1914, now a dominion of the British Empire, they go in on the side of Britain and go to war actively. And this becomes a debate in South Africa. And at that, if it's okay, Ian, I'm going to pass it over to you at this point.
Thank you, Tony. And thank you to Karen for chatting with us this afternoon about our new book that we feel very passionate about, you know, because of these two personalities. And Botha and Smuts, as Tony was saying, played such a critical role really in the early foundational history of South Africa as a country. Because it was under them really that the four territories that formed the Union of South Africa in 1910 were actually put into a position that they could form a new country. And essentially the country's borders as they exist today, with one or two very minor changes, were drawn up at that point. So they're two very critical figures, and the kind of emotion that they still evoke today, I think, points to their continued significance on the domestic and even the international stage.
Okay, thank you. I think before we continue with the historical characters, I would like to ask something about your writing process. So the two of you are based in very far from each other. Tony, you are in Edinburgh, and Ian, you are in Abu Dhabi. So how did you approach the writing of this book?
The writing of this book, really took place over an extended period, possibly of, you know, as many as 10 years or more. I had a particular fascination with Smuts for a very long time, and I always wanted to do something of a reasonable size, maybe a book on Smuts. And Tony developed an interest in Louis Botha from his PhD dissertation. And the more we worked with these two figures, Botha and Smuts, the more we realized, in fact, that the two play off of each other. And that to fully understand the one meant you needed to understand the other. You know, you couldn't study the one in isolation, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And we can perhaps talk more about dual biographies too. But in terms of the writing process, these two paths that we walked and then eventually merged, of course, in the bringing out of this book, meant that we also visited, in the years before I arrived in Abu Dhabi, various archive repositories in different places. And Tony's PhD research, and after that, took him to a range of different places too. And I think this is one of the interesting things when it came to the making of this book in terms of the research base that we have, is the diversity and the range of material, and especially when it comes to personal papers that we are able to bring. Yeah. And if you'd like to add something to that, Tony.
No, I completely agree, Ian. We try to find the voices of these two really massive characters, and you know what it's like, Karen. You write on very important topics, and we have some overlap, maybe at different, even though it's different times in the history. Jan Smuts, there's a lot on him. He's written basically his own history in his time and across the board, from science to politics to botany, you name it. And also his colleagues up until the Second World War and after wrote about him, and he was famous in his time, basically a living legend in his time. And then we found, so just getting into a very nerdy conversation here, you know, I'm sorry if we're going to bore any listeners here, but for it was really finding the voice of Buerta that we found challenging, because he didn't have the diaries and the, I mean, if you look at the Smuts papers, the just incredible amount of correspondence with Issy and with, you know, everyone in the UK and, you know, everywhere around the world, his many friends and colleagues. But Buerta was a different person. And he was really a man of the earth and a farmer and a real practical man. And we also challenged the idea that he wasn't intelligent, you know, or he wasn't, maybe it's because he gets compared to Smuts often. But he was intelligent, and it was a practical intelligence. And what came from that was he didn't have the diaries, perhaps. But we had to look at his close associates, Preller, Engelenburg, Leitz, who he corresponded with in Amsterdam, and also some others. And that's where we tried to find his voice and who he was. And I think that's what that took some of the years that Ian had